money. Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Deal. Gets open for three. Dagger! They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce all the way up the horn. It's gone!
Morris, Ball, Neal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the latest episode of the Locked On Wizards podcast. I am your host for tonight. I am Arthur Reynolds. You can find me on Twitter at District Mamba. Make sure to give us a follow on Twitter. We are at Locked On Wizards. Tonight, I have with me our own Ian Evans, one of the co-hosts of this wonderful podcast, to talk about the Summer League team and then some stuff that we've seen on the internet that has made us mad. What's going on, Ian?
Troy Brown. What's up, man?
That's exactly what I thought.
He
makes a really great point. Troy Brown and part of the new Big Three in DC with Devin Robinson, Thomas Bryant, and Troy Brown himself.
Summer League Big Three. That's so funny.
The Summer League Big Three. So we're going to talk about the past two games that played. The Wizards had a game Friday night against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we just wrapped up Game 2 against the San Antonio Spurs. Unfortunately, both were losses. I did not catch the first game. Ian did. It was apparently very ugly. If you could sum it up in 10 seconds or less, how was that first game, Ian?
Chioza sabotages the offense, makes it all about himself, shoots way too much. Didn't get to showcase any of the other young guys. So it was a pretty uneventful first game.
Yeah,
and it, like you said, it was really ugly. Troy Brown Jr. showed some stuff, showed some good touch around the rim. He showed his handles, the ability. He was getting to the rim at ease, even against the Cavaliers team. But this game today was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the stats alone, we'll recap that first game just with pure numbers. The Chris Chioza that you mentioned, he had 5 points and in 28 minutes. Devin Robinson had 14. Troy Brown had 13, and Thomas Bryant had 7. And then how you mentioned today's game was spectacular, especially the second half, which is what I was able to watch. Troy Brown played 31 minutes, Devin Robinson played 33, and Thomas Bryant played 32. So they all played over 30 minutes. Devin Robinson led all scorers with 24 points, going 9 for 18 from the field. Unfortunately, 1 for 6 from 3. And Troy Brown put in 21 points and shot 47%. He showed a lot of potential, a lot of scoring. And the player that I was most impressed with, even though Devin Robinson had all the highlights, the player that really stood out for me this past game against the Spurs was Thomas Bryant. He put up 20 points on 81% shooting from the field, had some like really nice rebounds, had a Euro step at one point. He was just so calm in transition. I don't know, Ian, like, talk me off a ledge here. I'm talking about this new Big Three. Obviously, it's Summer League, but this new Big Three possibly contributing this year. What are your takes from the first two games, and what do you think will happen with these three?
It's encouraging to see. I think it's the first time, really, that I can remember where there were, I mean, obviously Troy Brown, you know, we know he's going to make the roster, but three total players on a Summer League squad run by the Wizards where there's three super young guys who are all super talented and look really promising. So I don't remember the last time that was a thing. Maybe Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre, and Glenn Robinson Jr., but I was never really buying that anyway. Like, I was never super hyped for any of those guys outside of, like, Otto. I think specifically, I mean, you touched on Thomas Bryant. He's just got, like, for a big man, he's like a fluid athlete. He's just got a really smooth game. Obviously, like you mentioned, the rebounding, he took a lot of threes. I've seen him make some for the Lakers in the past. I don't like that shot from him right now, but it's Summer League. So in a way, you're almost kind of glad he's taking them, right?
Yeah.
I think I think one thing I really noticed about his game today was he's a really good passer, like out of the post.
Yeah, I think Thomas Bryant was finding guys.
Like, he was whipping the ball around with one hand a couple times, and I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of impressive from a young guy. I know Lakers fans were kind of ticked off that they kind of loaded up with a vet-heavy roster, and it made the way. The Wizards kind of lucked out. Like, that's why I think they kind of need to put him on the roster, because he's looked really impressive.
I remember tweeting when I saw Thomas Bryant highlights that he's already better than Jan Mahimi. And I also mentioned that the Wizards should stretch Jan Mahimi so that we can keep Thomas Bryant on the roster, to which a lot of people have pointed out that stretching Mahimi really does nothing in terms of just saving Ted Leonsis some tax money.
Yeah, but it's like signing Jason Smith to a 5-year extension.
Right. So basically, I'm fine with, you know, not stretching Jan Mahimi like I had mentioned, but Thomas Bryant needs to be on the roster. He doesn't need to play 30, 40 minutes. He can just show up for 12, 14 minutes. He has a motor. He can play some D. He's really good. He has, like, some good footwork. Obviously, this is all summer league. I'm just going to point it out right now. This is all summer league. We are aware. We're just going off what we've seen. We'll obviously get a better idea once training camp starts and once, you know, the preseason comes around. But we're just going off of what we've seen already. Let's break down Troy Brown. I didn't really see the first game. I just saw the highlights. And then today I, you know, watched the second half where he played like some really good defense. And like you mentioned earlier, he's just really good around the rim. Lost when it comes to his jump shot, even though he got fouled a couple of times when I saw him play today. But around the rim, he's just so crafty, and he maneuvers and he can kick out and keeps his head up. You can tell that he used to be a point guard. Do we think that Troy Brown is actually going to contribute to this team, or is he just going to ride the bench this year?
I think he's going to do a lot of sitting, just because you kind of see the power moves, quote unquote, air quotes, the power moves that the Wizards are making, signing, like, you know, proven guys who have been in the league for quite a while. They've been around. They've seen a decent amount of success on other teams. I do think, though, at some point, there is going to be a point in this season where he's getting some playing time, and you're going to see it kind of click with him on the court, and he's going to kind of like that superhero looking down at his fist and realizing all of a sudden, like, oh my God, like, this is, I have this power. This is crazy. Like, that's going to be Troy Brown Jr. at some point.
Yeah.
During this season. Cause the thing that impresses me about him so much already is, like, usually when you draft a young player, it comes with really raw talent, a really raw mind as far as like basketball IQ goes. And the skill is there, but they need to learn the game played at a much faster pace and at a higher level. With Troy Brown, it's so impressive because the kid is 18 years old. He's the age of a high school senior. The feel for the game is already there. That's not something that, I mean, he'll get even better with that, but it's not something he needs to work on, really. He needs to just become a better shooter and get a little stronger. And that's, like, right now, like, that's the goal for him. Become a better shooter and get a little stronger. Because right now, he's already got an NBA-ready body. Like, his frame is already ready for this league. His handles, a lot of people have already mentioned it just from watching him. He's already the second-best ball handler on the team. And it's not even close. It's like John Wall, Troy Brown Jr., and then, like, a distant third is, like, Bradley Beal. The first game that you missed, there were so many crazy passes he was throwing, like, threw a no-look pass out to the corner, and it was just hitting his teammates, like, in the face or, like, in the chest. They, like, weren't ready at all. So I think he's going to be a guy, too, that playing with NBA-level talent consistently, it's going to make him look so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, just like people point out, oh, you can't get too excited because it's summer league. But at the same time, you can't get down on a player too much because it's summer league. Like, the talent that he has around him is not going to be the same talent that he has once he, you know, plays in training camp with the Wizards.
When you're watching a player in summer league, you can still take away. It's not hard to see, like, what a player's strengths are going to be. And also, you can look at, like, the summer league and you can make an informed analysis about what skills you see in the summer league that are going to also transfer over into actual NBA games, 90% of his game is going to transfer over immediately. Right. When you talk about ball handling, being able to create, he's really good on the glass. He's a really good rebounder for someone. I mean, he's got a really massive wingspan, so that helps him.
Definitely.
But also, like you mentioned, like his ability to finish, I'm so impressed with him around the rim. I feel like he's going to shoot an insanely good percentage, like within, you know, 8 feet. He's got the floater. He knows how to put English off the ball and spin it the right way, and he knows angles. And like, he, when he got that steal in today's game, he read the passing lane, like he knew it was going to happen. Yep. And then he got whacked when he went up in transition to lay it up, and he finished. He just like ate the contact and finished, and it was, that's the type of stuff about him that gets me really excited.
Yeah, I mean, God, I can't really remember the last time that I looked forward to some youth for the Wizards. Because, I mean, Troy Brown, unlike Kelly Oubre, because Kelly Oubre was more, I felt, was more of a project. Troy Brown has, like you mentioned, the vision, has the, like, the feeling for the game. You can't teach those things to a player. Just watch Kelly Oubre try and dribble. Like, you can't teach any of those things.
Yeah, he's still, you know, it's Kelly Oubre is still learning how to do stuff with his offhand.
Right.
He's gotten better.
Yeah.
But it's still, like you said, it's a project, and
right.
Kelly Oubre is kind of still an ongoing project.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not going to make it into a Troy Brown versus Kelly Oubre debate, because that's not what we're here for, because I want more than anything for Kelly Oubre to be in the gym right now and knocking down 42-45% from three, and just mentally, you know, getting ready. Because as he mentioned, you know, dealing with, you know, anxiety and all that, like, you know, mental health matters as well. So I'm just hoping that he's working on all that during the off season. He's working with Drew Hanlon again. That can only help his game more. But there's going to be some pressure with Troy Brown. Troy Brown's not going to let up, and I'm very excited to see what he does in training camp.
I will say, to wrap up on Troy Brown, like, before we touch on Devin Robinson's monster game, I do want to say that I think, you asked me if he's going to contribute this year, I think he's going to sit often early. I do think Scott Brooks is going to hit a point in this season where he's left with no choice but to play him, because he's going to be that good. And right. I think we're going to see that early, like this season. I think we're going to see it this year.
Yeah.
So that's something that not everyone's on board with that.
Right.
I do not think Troy Brown is as raw or as much of as a project as people think he is. I actually think his game is super polished, and I think his jump shot is actually totally fine when you look at the mechanics, but he's going to get better at that too.
Yeah.
So I do think he's going to see time this year.
I mean, if he didn't have these question marks or these things that he had to work on, he would have been drafted top 10, top 5, first overall pick. So we need to like get rid of those, oh, but he needs to do this, he needs to do that. It's like, yeah, but there's a reason why he wasn't a higher pick. So you mentioned Devin Robinson's monster game. I only caught some of the alley-oops and dunks and stuff. I think like a monster block at one point today.
He was, dude.
But go ahead and break down Devin Robinson for us. He was on the G League team. I think he got called up for the playoffs, never saw a minute. But what can you tell us about Devin Robinson? What did you see these past couple games?
Right from the jump, the thing you notice about him immediately is he's one of the most freakish athletes I think maybe I've ever seen. Like, when you talk about like the NBA at that level, he's like an elite level NBA athlete. He's just so raw. And he's kind of the opposite of Troy Brown Jr. He's got like this like tantalizing tool set available to him with his physical, like he kind of hit the genetic lottery. That's the way that I kind of look at it when I see Devin Robinson.
Yeah.
Because his vertical leap is insane. His ability, like you said, he had a monster block. His wingspan is ridiculous. His jumping ability and the way he finishes, man, for anyone who didn't watch the game today, there were dunks where he just jumped over and through like two defenders simultaneously and just emphatically. Like it was really impressive to watch. I haven't seen something like that from a player in Summer League since I've watched Summer League. Just like monster dunk after monster dunk after monster dunk, alley-oop lobs, just yamming on people's heads. It was impressive, man. And then defensively, he was fantastic. He's a guy that the Kara Lawson had an interesting story that she was talking about courtside with PJ Carlissimo. She mentioned how when she went to a practice at Florida, she went up to him in the gym, went up to Devin Robinson, said hello, and then walked away just kind of watching from the sideline. Devin Robinson, she said, flat-footed, under the rim, just jumped up, windmilled the hell out of the ball from directly underneath the rim. And she said she went over to the Florida coach and was like, who is that kid? Like, who is that? And he just looked back and he started chuckling. He was like, yeah, he's gonna be damn good. So, you know, we saw him so sparingly, like maybe the last two or three games of the season last year. And from what we saw, I remember me and you talking about it, you know, opinions on Twitter, like, why was he on the bench this whole time? He looks like he's long and athletic and can defend. I had no idea that he was this athletic.
Right. Impressive to me that we could be a team that's like, oh, we don't need to play that athleticism. We're good rolling out Jan Mahimi and Marcin Gortat. We're good. We don't need to play Devin Robinson. It's like, you have talent on the bench. Play it. Play him against the lottery teams that want to lose because they're rolling out, you know, projects as well. But yeah, Devin Robinson, Thomas Bryant, and Troy Brown Jr. have really put on a show, especially today against the San Antonio Spurs. And even if, you know, Thomas Bryant and Devin Robinson don't make the team, I'm going to be watching some Capital City go-go games this year because I'm very high on these two players, and I'm excited to see what they do. So
yeah, man, I think, and like to wrap up on that too, this is what you want. Like if you're a team that's kind of strapped for cap space, you want young players who are super talented and extremely promising and have like a tantalizing skill set that you could try to groom and develop over time. That's what you, for dirt cheap. That's what you want. And the Wizards, for the first time, like I think ever, maybe ever that I can remember, they have that with this group right now. So I know they might not make the roster. Certainly Troy Brown Jr. is, obviously, but
yeah.
Hopefully Devin Robinson and Thomas Bryant make the squad because I think they'd be, to your point, I think they'd be more useful than a Jan Mahimi this year.
Yeah, and we don't need to keep a roster spot open.
Yeah.
Which we've done the past couple years. So that's the Summer League so far. We're going to talk about some internet stuff. Some hot takes.
The internet. It's a series interwebs. Of tubes, guys.
The interwebs. So on the interwebs, there are a couple things we're going to touch really quickly, and then we're going to close on a bigger topic. There's a trade proposal, apparently, involving the Lakers and the Wizards. In this proposal from an Wizards insider, the Wizards would be acquiring Luol Deng, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart in exchange for Bradley Beal. Supposedly, the Wizards are thinking about accepting the deal and should be getting back to the Lakers later this week. We'll see what happens there. But like I said, it's the internet, and somebody literally typed, "Hi, Wizards insider here," and then
Just so everyone knows, we don't know at all if this person is even reputable.
Yeah.
It could just be some imaginative fan on a forum, but yeah. Just
or
worth
some dude
mentioning
with like
and putting
10,000
out there
followers.
That, yeah, it could be like it could totally be a thing. So, yeah.
So that's just something we're gonna put out there, just in case. You know, you never know. And Ian had some time, and he was listening to some podcasts via The Ringer and other. Ian, what is the national perception of Dwight Howard to DC?
It's tough right now to find actual insight on the move. This is probably my favorite time of year right? Like the in order, like the draft, and then free agency hits, and then it's summer league, and then the preseason starts, and it's just exciting. You're gearing up. You're getting hyped for actual basketball again with like new rosters and new players. So I like to read, you know, this week specifically, like you mentioned, read a ton of articles and listened to a ton of podcasts, NBA related, just to stay up on everything and kind of get an idea of everyone's opinions, not just on the Wizards, but on everyone's moves around the league. But when it comes to the Dwight Howard signing, it's really tough to find any insight. I mean, outside of our own show, obviously, but tough to find any insight on the basketball side of things. Like, it's tough to find any opinions and any conversation about how will Dwight Howard fit in this team on the basketball court. What could his skills, like what could his skill set bring to a team with John Wall as a pass first point guard, someone who gets into the paint easily to find someone like a Dwight Howard, someone who's elite in the pick and roll. Like, what does that do for the team? Does that make him better? What's it gonna? Is it gonna open anything up? Is it gonna help them on defense to actually have someone in the paint who can protect the post? Stuff like that. Like, right? Those are the things that I thought I'd be hearing about. Instead, all you're hearing about is the off-court stuff, which we can't ignore. It's not like that's not. It's a real thing. Dwight Howard has had problems off the court in the last four stops he's been at. It's a real thing. We can't ignore it. But with that being said, every situation is different. Every circumstance is different. House from DC, a lot of you guys know him, House from DC on Twitter. He's a Ringer employee. He's a lifelong Wizards fan. He mentioned something interesting to Bill Simmons on the Ringer NBA show. And it was essentially along the lines of, who's the best point guard that Dwight Howard has actually ever played with? And when he said that, I was thinking back, I'm like, to myself in my car, I'm like, okay, well, Jameer Nelson, then what, like, old man, broken down Steve Nash, who was badly injured, Pat Beverly, I guess, Kimball Walker, like, that's the list, you know? That's the list of point guards. Yeah. So John Wall is absolutely the most elite talent and the most elite, as far as the facilitator and setting the table. I don't know if Dwight Howard's ever been coming into an opportunity where it's going to be so easy for him. His role is so simple on this team. And way easier. He's not coming in thinking, oh man, I'm the alpha. I'm the number one option here. Like, and I think at every other stop for the points in time where he was going there, you would argue, I think you could argue that he was either the number one or he was the number two in certain scenarios. But even last year, Charlotte's so bad and they have such a small amount of talent on the court aside from like Kimball Walker. I guess, I don't know. I'm not very high on Nick Batum as a player. I just never have been. That roster was so inept. He probably felt like he had to carry this huge load, you know? And I think coming here, it's very, very clear. The pecking order, it's crystal. It's John Wall. It's Bradley Beal. And then even I think it's Otto Porter. And with him, it's him. So I think the role is carved out. And I think the situation, the timing, the team context, everything kind of fits up perfectly. I think, again, the Wizards kind of getting lucky. They kind of lucked into a good deal with him. So I don't know, man. We'll see. But the national media just hammering the move. It's like a running joke. people just like cackling. Andrew Sharp was hilarious to listen to him talk about it, but not as high on the move as we are as fans, for sure.
Which is perfectly fine. I mean, there's a reason why we got him for what we got him for, but we'll see what happens with the Dwight Howard saga. And then we're going to wrap up this episode addressing one more rumor. And that is the Carmelo Anthony buyout.
Oh, man.
It is down,
Arthur,
to what looks like three teams. The Los Angeles Lakers to be able to play with LeBron James. The Houston Rockets to be able to play with Chris Paul and the Washington Wizards to be able to come back home. And I don't know what else, but I personally would welcome Carmelo Anthony to DC if and only if it's in a limited role. I know we talked about this before we recorded, but you mentioned that Carmelo Anthony would have to come here and be the starter, which I think would be fine, but I would need to keep him fresh for the playoffs, keep his body fresh, his mind right. Carmelo Anthony would solve a lot of half-court issues for the Wizards. Obviously, the efficiency and the field goal percentage is what kind of worries some people, and the age and his lack of defense and all that good
usage
stuff.
Usage rate, yeah.
Yeah. But we wouldn't rely on him. It's like a Dwight Howard situation. He would come here as a piece, as a complement, as, you know, someone that can take control of a bench unit and give you scoring. And if you pair him up with Kelly Oubre, Thomas Satoransky, even Jan Mahimi, if you're still trying to play him, you can surround him with a defensive presence and know that you have a player that can just back to the basket, ISO, clock's running down, get a bucket from. But Ian feels a little bit differently. I am committed to Carmelo to DC, but Ian, what are your thoughts on Carmelo Anthony possibly joining the Wizards?
Oh no, man, I'm all in. Like, please let this happen. Please, I want to watch the world burn. I want all the chaos to happen. I want all the traffic. Like, everyone's going Google searching Washington Wizards chaos. Like, yeah. This is what I've been waiting for.
We would be the greatest show on earth.
Oh my God. Can you imagine how entertaining this team will be? So he's kind of a black hole still at this point in his career. I think the Thunder are going to be way better now that Paul George can kind of step in and kind of take up a lot of the shots that Carmelo was wasting in that offense. If he could come off the bench, you're basically getting Mike Scott back on a minimum deal, which would be a huge win for the Wizards. Here's the problem. There is no way in hell Carmelo Anthony is agreeing to play here as a sixth man or as like a seventh man, whatever. He's not going to spearhead a second unit. I think the reality would be you'd have a starting lineup of John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Carmelo Anthony, and Dwight Howard.
Watch out, like, Golden State. We're coming for you.
Which, like, yeah, dude, 6 years ago? 5 years ago? Oh, my God. Like, you don't want to talk about a dream team. Like, you want to talk about the Golden State Warriors killers. That squad would have dominated. But now, it would just be, I don't know how it would work. I think how Dwight Howard fits this team is very evident and very clear. And I think it's a no-brainer, like, to take the flyer on Dwight. Dwight Howard is the least of my concerns as far as actual on-the-court basketball stuff is concerned. I don't know really how Carmelo fits here. Like you said, end of game. I guess finally there'd be an option end of game to just some way, somehow, the Wizards could finally buy a basket when it's meaningful and in crunch time. The Wizards' offense with John Wall and Bradley Beal and Otto Porter can't be bring the ball down, slow everything down, and then, like, Dwight's posting up on one end and Melo's posting up on the other.
God.
Like, it can't be that way. I would walk in front of an incoming truck.
Right.
So, but if he's willing to run a little bit, lose a little bit of weight, if he's willing to spot up in the corner and just wait, you know, the system that the Wizards run here, John Wall will make it so easy for you. If you want to stay on the wing and wait for an open pass to knock down a great look from three, he's still an okay, like, he didn't have a great shooting season last year, but Carmelo Anthony can still shoot. Down year withstanding last season, the dude is still a good shooter, especially when he's open, and that's all John Wall really produces when you talk about, like, out on the perimeter. So it could totally work. It could. Like, I can't believe I'm saying it. Maybe this is just Wizards fandom right now. We're just talking ourselves into absolute insanity.
Yeah.
Because we know it's going to happen. But I'm all about it. Like, give me just the most insane roster ever. I'm here. I want to be here for it.
That Wizards roster would be so much fun to play with in 2K.
Do you know how many games would be on ESPN and TNT, Arthur?
Yeah, I'm down with it. You know, I have one question, and we're going to wrap up Carmelo Anthony segment. Who would you rather have taking 5 wide-open 3-point shots? Carmelo Anthony or Markieff Morris?
If only it were that simple. If only it were that, if that was the, if that's what we were getting, it's no, you take Carmelo Anthony and you don't think twice about it. But it's not that simple.
I'm oversimplifying it, but the point stands. Getting Carmelo Anthony, it would just be an offensive production standpoint. How many games this year and seeing that Markieff Morris has taken more shots than Bradley Beal, than Otto Porter? Offenses leave him open, and that makes everything tougher for everyone. But Arthur, with Carmelo, if you're going to leave him open, he's going to have the best season of his career knocking down three-pointers, wide-open three-pointers.
And there'd be enough talent on the team where defenses will have to scramble and pick and choose who to double-team. Like, I get what you're saying. I need to hear, because I think I feel it in my bones. I can feel like the basketball gods are whispering in my ear. Who, if Melo comes here, you have 5 seconds to answer after I'm done asking you this question.
Go for it.
Starting lineup: John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Melo, Dwight Howard. How many games do they win in the East in the regular season?
Easily, healthy, no drama, 60.
60 wins? 60 wins 60. Easily gets you the number one seed in the East. All right. Okay, Arthur.
You said the East.
I was thinking it too.
You like, said
I'm
the
a,
East.
I'm a psychopath. Like, I'm sitting here talking myself into Carmelo Anthony on the Wizards, who just added Dwight Howard and Jeff Green, thinking, you know what? This could be a 60-win team in the East.
Now, I don't know if that means anything, because it's
need,
the East.
I think it means we need to see a psychiatrist is what it means.
But I can see it. And you know what else is like the sad part out of all this? Wall would finally be playing with 3 other All-Stars. Isn't that so depressing? The people that kill John Wall in the regular don't realize that the amount of All-Stars that have played with John Wall are 2 at this point, and one of them hasn't even played yet. Like, Steph Curry has a whole, like, all-NBA team on his roster. Russell Westbrook at one point had James Harden, Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka on his team. Kyrie Irving used to play with LeBron James and Kevin Love. But don't consider John Wall one of the best point guards in the NBA. How dare you do that when his best teammate up until last season was probably Paul Pierce at 40 years old.
Yeah, John Wall's he's a very special player. It's weird to hear a lot of the backlash from some very smart NBA journalists and analysts, specifically this offseason when it comes to John Wall. Even people who just like a year and a half ago were worshiping him and calling him the second best player in the East. And I think now in the NBA more than ever, it's like, what have you done for me lately? It has never been so alive as it is today.
Yeah.
Because one season removed from absolute superstar, maybe a top 5 player, maybe definitely like a top 8 player in the conversation, and second best player in the East behind LeBron James. There was like LeBron, then there was John Wall, and then like very distantly, there's everyone else. And like that's what it was.
Yeah.
And now, after a year where he missed an entire half of the season, and then came back and put up playoff averages that no one has put up since John Stockton, all of a sudden he's like, he's just completely out of the conversation. And I do want to mention real, like, someone that all of us, and probably everyone listening, like, huge fans of one guy in particular, not going to name names, I guess, but said something along the lines of, if John Wall is special, then there are a whole lot of those in the league right now. And there's literally no metric and there's no statistical basis to back that claim up at all. When you look at a 20-10 point guard who is in the playoffs consistently, a 5-time All-Star, but then what he's on track to do in his career as far as surpassing Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas, like that's what he's on pace for, is Detroit Piston Isaiah Thomas. By the time John Wall finishes his career, he's on pace to have more points and more assists than Isaiah Thomas. Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players of all time. He is going to shatter every Washington Wizards record by the time he retires. And he is on track to be one of three point guards in NBA history to average, or not to average, rather one of three point guards in NBA history to surpass 18,000 points and 9,000 assists. One of three in the history of the sport. So I'll agree to disagree that there are, quote unquote, a whole lot of those in the league, because that's just untrue.
Yeah. And I mean, you're teasing something that you're working on behind the scenes, but I really hope that you're able to land this guest, because he is, like you said, a role model to many, especially in the blog, in the, you know, the social media, blogging, podcasting world. He's a huge icon, I would say.
Big deal, man. He introduced introduced an entire fan base to this team. So
exactly.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So on that note, this was a jam-packed episode. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is one of the best episodes that we've put out. There's so much to talk about, so much to look forward to, and it's much better than rolling into the season with just Gortat. And
thank God. I'm company. So glad.
Yeah.
March, I don't miss you, man.
Yeah, like, I don't either. And I hope we don't miss him during the regular season. But that's going to do it for us tonight. I am your host. I am Arthur Reynolds. Please check me out on Twitter at District Mamba. My guest for tonight and my co-host of this awesome podcast, Ian Evans. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at @TheRealIan_E. We are at Locked On Wizards. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. Hit us up with a review. We love reading those things. And we'll catch you guys next time.